let's go into the word. I'm excited about it. I believe it's a word that we don't have to focus on the current now situation. I know a lot of preachers will, and that's fine. But I want to just go in a completely different direction. I've even said that I believe that God is using some of the things that we're going through right now as a people, what we are going through as a nation, these growing pains. I believe that God is raising up a new generation of giant killers. I believe if we will pay attention to what God is doing and we will listen and we will adhere to what the Word of God is saying, that He will raise up a brand new generation of giant killers, meaning that we don't have to settle for what is right now. We don't have to settle for uncertainty, but we can hear what thus says the Lord in this moment and begin to do great and mighty things for the kingdom of God. In Hebrews chapter 12, that's where I want to begin. Hebrews chapter 12, and then we're going to jump over to Exodus chapter 5 just for two verses there. Hebrews chapter 12, glory to God, verse 18 through 24. Praise God. This is a scripture that we'll read, and I've used it before, and every time I use it in a text, I always tell people it's a scripture that when we read it at first, and if you've never heard it, you'll be like, But if you will meditate on it and you will allow this scripture to get down into your spirit, it will minister to you and it will speak to you and you will get great revelation from it. Look what it says, Hebrews 12, verse 18. For you have not come to the mountain that may be touched and that burned with fire, and to blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, so that those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. Verse 20, for they could not endure what was commanded, and if so much as a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned or shot with an arrow. And so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I am exceedingly afraid and trembling. But you have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, my God, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. My goodness, I said that scripture is one that great revelation can come to you, but I'll never be able to get to it all in this one message. It couldn't happen. Exodus chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. You know these two scriptures well, but watch what it says. Afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go. Now, if you're wondering where we're going to go, good. I don't always like to give it away. Sometimes I'll tell you the title right in the beginning. I'm not going to do that quite yet. But I want to just begin to dive into this for the time that we have together this morning and tell you that the whole book of Exodus is a great book. It's really an exciting book of the Bible. But why I love the book of Exodus for each of us is because the book of Exodus helps you and I to begin to understand that there is no prison that God cannot bring you out of. The book of Exodus helps you and I to understand that there is not any prison that you and I could ever be in that God could not bring us out of. The very book of the Bible, Exodus, means exit. It means that God creates a way out. God makes a way out. We can feel bound. We can feel enclosed. We can feel like we are surrounded. Amen. But God has always and always creates a way out. Sometimes we'll ask ourselves, if we're in trouble or we're in some kind of a mess, we'll say, how do I get out of this situation? How am I going to get out of here? But God has the ability to demand our release. That in Exodus chapter 5, it helps to remind you and I that even when we're in circumstances that appear like they're never going to change, like nothing is going to change, I'm here to tell you that God has the ability to demand our release, to demand our release. He's teaching in that chapter of 5 of the book of Exodus, and I would take time to read more if I had it, but he's teaching really the children of Israel how to escape the world system. He's teaching them how to escape and how to escape Satan's power and how to be liberated. It's a really good foundational lesson for you and I, even in the Old Testament, to understand that we don't have to settle with our current circumstances, but that we can be liberated, that God desires that you and I be free and that we be liberated in this life. All right, but as we would read through and go on throughout chapter 5, we can understand that there were families that were released one house at a time. One after the other, they were released. The Bible said that Moses even planned that each man would put doorposts on each house, right? And that he would send the death angel, but that when they saw the blood, right, you know the story, he would pass over you. He would pass on by you, right? I like this story, and I like to look at it because it's an Old Testament story that helps us to really begin to look to the New Testament. It's a good parallel to the coming of Christ, to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus even. But God includes in his plan that the deliverance of a house would rest on the adults of the house. Don't miss that about this chapter that we read. Because by them putting blood by putting the blood out front, all right, it helps you and I to remember we have to be committed to living a life that sets an example for our children, for our family. Meaning that God wants the adults of every home to be held accountable for making sure that we're following Jesus. That's our responsibility. Right, we can't gripe the way that things are going in our family or how people react. You have the responsibility of following Jesus in your home. It was the adults that had the responsibility of putting the blood on the doorpost so that the death angel would pass them by. It is we as adults that have a responsibility to follow after Jesus and to study the word and live according to the word of God. We need to be commanding, right? The enemy, and telling the enemy over and over and very directly, devil, you cannot have my house. Devil, you cannot have my family. What I see so much of, and I want this word to be an encouraging word to you and I today, but I've got to tell a little truth for a bit. That we have to be able to command the devil, devil, you cannot have my family. Devil, you cannot have my children. Devil, you cannot have my marriage. Devil, you cannot take my money. Devil, you cannot take my church. Devil, you will not accomplish this. We have to be able to command the enemy of what he can and cannot do. We have to be able to command and remind the devil that Satan, the blood of Jesus, is against you. And the only way for you and I to do that is if we are serious about our walk with God. If we are living according to the word of God, if we are taking the word of God right here, the sword, and we are using it and living by it and walking in our rightful authority, right? The Bible said that the death angel passed by them when they saw the blood. But my question is can the enemy see the blood? Can he see the blood on our lives and on our churches? Right now, with all the things that are going on, what is it that we're living by? See, we have to be able to be bold enough to be able to make a statement that against the enemy, right? That the enemy can't have you and I, right? That he can't take you and I, that even though churches aren't meeting right now, that we need to be able to decree and declare that the devil can't take our churches, that the devil can't take our money, that the devil can't take our marriages. When the news said that right now that the divorce rate has spiked because of people being home and together more than normal, right? I can sort of understand that, but in the church, that shouldn't be the case. We should be able to speak and walk with our rightful authority and just decree and declare, I will not lose my mind over this person, right? They're not going to drive me up a wall, that our marriage will last. We need to decree and declare the promises of God over our lives and over what God is doing to us. We've got to be able to walk in that rightful authority. And what I know for sure is that you and I cannot accomplish this kind of victory on a Sunday morning relationship with God. What I'm talking to you about is a victory that we walk in every day. It's a place that we walk with in God. That I can't just decree that all of his promises are yes and amen just because, you know, it sounds good and that I believe it can come true. But it requires more than just a Sunday morning relationship with God. And I'm not talking about just tuning in online. I'm talking about a real everyday relationship with God where we're striving to live and do according to the Word of God. Because we can't have a casual Christian life and expect to accomplish what the Scripture is talking about. When we read Ephesians, there's so much great things there, but he's really talking about great victory. You and I can't expect to walk in that kind of victory in our life just by a Sunday-only relationship. It's a daily relationship with God. It's something that we need now more than ever. There's a lot of people tuning into churches now more than ever. People tuning into live broadcasts and watching Christian TV now more than ever because people want answers. There may be people that are watching us this morning for the first time, never tuned into a church. And while this message might be a little bit more challenging for them, I have to preach to the church because I believe that we, the church, have to make sure we get it right. We have to be able to provide the answers to people who have questions. Right? And we have to be able to stand firm and declare and decree what is and what will not be in this season, in this difficult time that we are in. The Bible teaches us that Israel had been in Egypt for 400 years. They were in bondage. They had lost their way in life. Even more specifically, that they had lost their worship. They lost everything. Bible teaches us that the longer they were in bondage, the more they lost of themselves, and the more they lost their relationship with God. That's how it is, isn't it? Finally, after generation and generation and generation, they decided that they needed to seek the face of the Lord. I can identify with that. If anybody else has ever run from God or just went through a season where you're like, oh, I don't want to pray. I don't want to worship. I don't want to go to church. You can be there for a long time. And finally, the Bible says, they decided they needed to seek the face of the Lord. And God spoke to Moses. He said, I want you to tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Let my people go. And I like that, and I've preached that very phrase a couple of different ways. I've heard other preachers preach it a lot of different ways. This message could go in a lot of different ways. But what I like about that portion right there where God tells Moses, tell Pharaoh, let my people go, is it's a good reminder to me, it's a good reminder to you that God is going to get you and I out of this, whatever this is. Today I'm preaching and we're in the midst of the coronavirus epidemic, right? But maybe you're in the midst of a financial hardship. Maybe someone else is in the midst of a relationship that's falling apart. Someone else could be in great physical pain. Someone else is facing cancer. Someone else is facing their diabetes kicking up. All of us are facing many different things, but there's a promise right here in the midst of this text. And that is when God says, tell Pharaoh to let my people go. In other words, what you and I can extrapolate from the text is that God is going to get you out of this. Whatever this is, if it's a job that you can't stand, if it's a person you can't stand, if it's a situation that you're enduring, if it's what our nation and around the globe is enduring, one thing I know is true. While everyone else is freaking out, we the church should be walking in peace. Even though we're in our homes having church today, even though we're going through what we're going through, one thing is for sure, we should be at great peace knowing that God is going to get me out of this. No weapon formed against me will prosper. Amen. 1,000 can fall at one side and 10,000 at the other, but it will not come near us. You see, we may not have a physical Pharaoh today, but every one of us that are a part of this today have a Pharaoh that we're dealing with. Because your Pharaoh could be a habit. Your Pharaoh could be a... There's been people that have drug addiction. There could be people that are having some kind of bondage or alcoholism or financial issue, right? Any kind of bondage that's holding you from being free. See, it makes no difference which Pharaoh it is. because God is God over every Pharaoh. It doesn't matter what your Pharaoh is, because God is God over every Pharaoh, right? And God is going to get you and I out of this. Hallelujah. See, God didn't liberate them so that they may be free to wander. God didn't liberate them from being in bondage for 400 years just so they could get out and take a walk. God didn't do that. God liberated them. He did. He absolutely liberated them so that they may be free to worship, the Bible says. The reason that God went to all the effort after they were in bondage for so long was God said, hey, I don't want you to just get liberated so you can go take a walk. I want you to get liberated so that you can be free to worship. Hallelujah. God doesn't want you and I to be liberated only to get wrapped up in the same mess as we did before. He says, I want to set you free so that you can worship. And there's something about our worship that's key. It's key. What I found is, with a lot of people, is that sometimes that we'll get free. And God will set us free from whatever it may be, right? He can set us free from really anything. He can set us free from something we're dealing with, or whether it's drugs, alcohol, anything, you know, that we're dealing with. And if we do not deal and we do not fill that empty spot where we once were bound, it's dangerous for you and I. Because what's the Bible say? The Bible says if you and I get rid of a demon and you cast it out and you leave the house empty and unguarded, it brings seven back. Right. Meaning that that's why our worship is so important. That when we get free from something, that we've got to fill it. Right. We've got to be able to fill that area. Right. Of our life. I could go a little bit further with that, but since really I better not. 400 years of bondage. And God says, I'm going to meet you in the wilderness. Think about that. Here they were in bondage, and God said to these people, I'm going to meet you in the wilderness. In other words, God's saying, in order for you to experience me and all that I am and all that I'm going to be able to do for you, you have to come out of Egypt to experience me. Notice, God didn't tell him, I'm coming in to get you. God said, I'm calling you out of where you are. In other words, God is calling you and I out of the place where we are. He's calling us out of the club, or he's calling us out of the darkness that we are in. He's calling us out of the bondage that we are in. And so God is saying, I'm standing outside of your confusion and waiting for you to meet me. See, a lot of times we want to just believe that God's going to come in and just rescue us, and he is able, and he could do that, and he has done that. But when this text, God says, hey, I'm not coming into your captivity. I want you to come out to me. I'm not coming into your place of confusion. I want you to come out here and meet me. Because God goes on to say, I have houses that you didn't build. I have vineyards that you didn't plant. And this will only happen for your life when you come out of your foolishness and you begin to worship me. God had a bigger plan. God had something completely much larger for them to be able to understand. See, for you and I to come out of where we are and coming out of foolishness and begin to worship him, it's more than going to church on a Sunday. That's what God was trying to get them to understand, and we're introduced to that even in Exodus. Right. It's more than just church on Sunday. He's really introducing you and I to a living, functioning, vibrant relationship with God, where you and I include him in every decision, where he's a part of what we do each and every day. We're talking about a relationship with God that actually works. We're talking about a vibrant, thirst-quenching, mind-renewing, devil-chasing outpouring of the Holy Ghost that comes down on you and changes your life. That's what we're talking about. That's what God wanted to introduce them to, is not a life of limitation and bondage and all of those things, but God wanted to introduce them to how awesome life can be with Him. Does it avoid hardship? No. Does it avoid heartache? No. Does it mean you still will go through things? Absolutely. But there, He's introducing them to the vibrance and awesomeness of walking with Him and walking with Him daily. The Bible says that those who hunger and thirst for righteousness' sake shall be filled. And you know what I've noticed is that the enemy doesn't want you to do is to get hungry for a real experience with God. The enemy doesn't want you and I to get hungry for a real experience with Him. In other words, the enemy doesn't want you and I to get to a place where we say, God, I'm just sick of myself. Because a lot of times we can be frustrated with other people, but the reality is that oftentimes, at least for me, when I'm frustrated with other people, really who I'm frustrated with is myself. That I've put myself in a position that I've allowed people to get to me to that degree. Or I've made decisions that have led me to this place. And that's some hard honesty right there. Some of you might not be ready for that. But the enemy doesn't want you and I to get to a place where we say, God, I'm just sick of myself. God, I'm sick of being double-minded. God, I'm sick of who I am. I'm sick of having like five people living in the same body. Because, you know, every day we wake up, we're somebody different. Today you're cranky. Tomorrow you'll be happy. On Wednesday you'll be depressed. You know, that's how we are. And yet God does desire, and I believe we need to walk in a consistency if we're walking with God. We have to be able to be bold enough to say, Lord, sanctify me, deliver me, set me free, break every yoke of bondage, destroy every bondage. Lord, loose me and let me go. Let me go. We have to be able to be bold enough to declare something like that over our life. See, I really believe that as I was reading that text in Hebrews, that God really wants someone who is squirming to be free. The reason I believe that sometimes people get so agitated and people's moods are swinging from one end of the spectrum to the other is that God is dealing with them. Holy Spirit is working on them. I looked at somebody yesterday and I said, what really is your problem? I mean, just nasty and cranky to everybody else around them. But what I really know is that it's Holy Spirit dealing with them. They're so uncomfortable in their own skin. They can't stand the sight of me. They can't stand hearing the Word of God. Everywhere they turn, they're hearing the Word of God. They're hearing somebody tell them about Jesus. And they are so uncomfortable right now. I mean, they can't rest. I even heard them say they haven't been sleeping good. And I just thought, well, surrender. Surrender already, right? I really believe that God is looking for people who are squirming to be free. There are people that are watching online today, or they'll see it later, and they haven't been in a church in a long time, and you are squirming to get free, and yet you just haven't been bold enough to get free. You have been anxious to be set free from something, whether it doesn't even have to be an addiction. It could be lots of things. There are things that God's been dealing with you on, and you've left it go, and you've left it go, and you've been just allowing it to be a part of your life. But I believe that some of us are squirming to get out of stuff that others enjoy being in. Right? Just because other people in our families or our friends enjoy being in that mess doesn't mean you and I have to. Amen. I've learned one thing. You can't always trust people around you to help you get out. There are people in my life that say they love me, but they won't help me get out of something because they're in it. And to help me get out of it would mean that they might have to get out of it too. I've learned in some parts of my life, not every person, but in some parts of my life, that sometimes you have to just sort of wave at somebody, shake their hand and say, see you later, I wouldn't want to be you. Right? And realize that I've got to move on. So God wants to let us go. He wants us to be free from things that are holding us up and hindering us right now. See, in order to get out, you have to believe that there's something bigger going on. You got to believe that there's something bigger going on. You got to have vision sometimes just to be able to see beyond your situation. The Bible says that they came to Mount Sinai in anticipation to hear God speak, and that it was so intimidating, they did not know how to handle what they asked for. And in the book of Hebrews, it references and says these people squirmed and fought to get away from Pharaoh. To get to a mountain that they couldn't even touch. They were so desperate to get free. The Bible says they squirmed and were fighting to get away from Pharaoh. They fought to get loose and come to a mountain that was dark, on fire, and the Bible says trembling. But he said, you have not come to that mountain. He said, you've come to Mount Zion. You've come to a different place. See, what I really believe is that the word of the Lord for the church today, as I was reading this, is that there are very few people who ever really have a real worship experience with God. I'm not talking about goosebumps. You know, when you hear a good song, you can watch American Idol or some other show like that, and you'll get goosebumps. That's great. I'm talking about a different kind of worship experience. I'm talking about the real worship that opens up an entire other world to you. Another dimension. A real worship where we connect with God on a whole other level, where everything seems possible in that moment. See, the kind of worship experience, and I promise I'll bring this all to make sense to you, a kind of worship experience where you worship God sincerely, a kind of worship encounter where no prison could ever hold you, where no sickness could hold you, where no disease could hold you, right? Where depression is destroyed, right? Where you cannot worship God and be depressed. That kind of experience with God. I believe that's the kind of worship God wants you and I to have. And in this moment right now, with all the world facing what we're facing, God needs the church to be worshiping. We should be able to be seeing and hearing things from God that no one else is. We should be able to have a peace that passes all understanding. We should have a security that no one else has. We should have a boldness that nobody else has. Why? Because we have the ability to connect on a level that nobody else can. That's why there's a place in God. I preached last week about Psalms 91. He who abides under the shadow of the Almighty. There's a place that God wants you and I to have. And while churches are screwing this opportunity up, and I really believe that, we've got to make sure that we have our message clear. How are we going to do that? By making sure that we are having an encounter and we are having an individual experience with God. That's how. If you are overwhelming yourself with Fox News and CNN and ABC and all these other things more than you are the presence of God, then you're failing. We're failing because there's a place in God. That's what His Word tells us. There's a place in God that He wants us to get to. He wants us to have a real worship experience. Remember the whole reason that God said, tell Pharaoh to let my people go. He didn't let them go so they could wander. He let them go so they could worship. That's why. Isn't it interesting that right now in this moment, while churches can't have live services, when we're being forced to do creative things, whether it's Facebook Live with a phone or a tablet, or we get a fancy camera like we have, and we've even got TV lights around us now and all those great things, right? That one of the things that's been attacked the most as I've watched churches in the live stream is the worship. Why? We can't worship like we did. Because a lot of churches, we would be too close together. We wouldn't be able to meet the 6 feet apart thing. And then it's just too risky in some areas of the country and all these things. And the one thing that has been attacked, the word is going forth, but the experience has been attacked. Connecting with God so that the word can accomplish what it was sent to do in a more intimate and powerful way. It's been our worship. Worship is attacked in churches anyway. People who have gifts that God has given them to use and they won't use them. You're allowing the enemy to attack the worship through you. God wants you and I to have a worship experience. The Bible says in Isaiah 61, the garment of praise, for the spirit of heaviness is gone from me. You know what that really means? That there's a place in worship that problems cannot follow. God has not given you and I a spirit of heaviness. That we, when we put on a garment of praise, there's a spirit of heaviness that leaves from you and I. Meaning that there is a place in our worship that problems cannot go. Where you and I begin to, when we begin to sing how great is our God. When we begin to sing a song that talks about His awesomeness, His greatness, how worthy He is. The problem that you're dealing with, that you're carrying with you like a backpack, whether it's depression or fear or anxiety or worry or stress or a marriage that's falling apart, whatever it is that it may be, there's a place where you and I go in God that that problem cannot follow. It says, oh nope, if I go there, it will mess me up. You've got to understand that's why our worship is being attacked. That's why so many churches have dead. I've been frustrated with our own church in our worship. What's the point of being called fresh fire if there's no fire in the worship? And I say it in love, but I mean it. In every church, our worship is often dead. It's not rehearsed. There's no emphasis put on it. And yet that's the one place where the enemy knows. And it's also the place that God knows because He designed it. I'm going to show you something here in a moment that I think is fascinating. But the enemy attacks our worship because he knows it's how one of the first steps for you and I getting free. There can be problems all over you and I until we begin to worship. I can be in trouble. I can be in sickness. I can be in pain. I can be in despair until I go into worship. Until I go into worship. I'm not talking about churchy worship where we're just sort of like, oh, precious Lord. I'm talking about real, genuine worship that will cause you and I to step into a supernatural dimension. In Hebrews 12, he says, you have come to Mount Zion, to the general assembly of the firstborn, to an innumerable host of angels. What's he talking about? He's saying that there is somewhere in the spirit when you really start worshiping God that you become aware that you are no longer alone. This is why our worship is, I don't care if you got to worship driving down the road. I don't care if you're the only one in your church that will actually worship God, then do it. But there's a place in our worship, that's what he's saying there in Hebrews. There's a place that we get to in our worship when we're singing, when we raise our hand, when maybe you shout or whatever it is that you do, when you get in touch with God, where you have the understanding, it's like a light goes off and you realize in that moment that you are no longer alone. That all of heaven has now joined your worship. There's examples of what I'm telling you right now in the Word. See, you can be worshiping God in your home right now and you are not alone. You can be worshiping God on church on Sunday and you might be the only one really worshiping from a place of surrender and a place from your heart, and yet you are not alone. There's a whole lot of people in churches that are not really willing to go to that place of worship because they're satisfied. They're satisfied with two songs, maybe three songs, whatever it may be, and out by this time. They're not interested in that. But you are. The church in general is satisfied with sort of, you've heard me call it a shake and bake, microwavable miracle. Let me check in, let me check out. God, as long as you do the miracle by 12 o'clock, we're good. But what if we had to worship our way to get it? I I've told this story. I've used it in a couple different ways, but there was a little boy, and he kept falling out of bed. Every night, his mama would put him in bed, and he kept falling out of the bed. Mom would tuck him in. She'd get downstairs and begin to do what she did every night in her routine, and all of a sudden, she would always hear a thud. She'd go running upstairs and say, "Are you okay? Are you okay?" And he said, "Yeah, I just fell out of bed." Night after night, this continued to happen. Finally, the little boy looked at his mom and says, "Mommy, why is it that I keep falling out of bed? Can't you put something up to keep me from falling out of the bed?" And the mother looked at her son and she said, "Son, I want to tell you something. It's real simple. It's real simple. The reason you keep falling out of bed is because you never got far enough in. The reason that so many in the church keep falling away, the reason that so many people, they'll be dedicated for a couple months and then they fall out, and then they'll be dedicated maybe for a year and then they'll fall away. And the reason that we have these highs and lows in our relationship with God is because we never got far enough in. We just didn't." You know, even throughout the Bible, it talks about how we can be ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep. We never get far enough in to where we need to be to keep ourselves secure. I wonder what would happen if we would get all tucked up, tied up, and wrapped up with God and are hungry for the presence of God. You see, if you and I individually, what would be great is during this time while we're quarantined and you're in your home and I'm in mine and I'm here preaching to you and you're sitting there with your cup of coffee and relaxing, what would be really awesome is that during these weeks while this is happening, that God would begin to do something in you and I, our hearts, where you get so wrapped up in the presence of God and hungry for the presence of God and desperate for the presence of God, that when the church comes back together corporately, my God, do you understand what could begin to happen? See, what I really believe is this: if you and I would get hungry for the presence of God, you don't need a Hammond B3. You don't need a drummer. You don't need a pianist to praise God. You'll do it all on your own. Because a real worshiper doesn't need a crowd. A real worshiper doesn't need musicians. And a real worshiper doesn't need shouting. A real worshiper doesn't need any of that. I'm reminded of a story, and we don't have any time to get into it, but it's in the Song of Solomon. And a woman who said, "Have you seen my beloved?" And it's interesting to read it because it's as if she's searching and looking. And have you seen him? Have you seen him? I wonder, have you seen my beloved? Asking over and over again, have you seen him? Can you tell me where he is? I can't rest until I find him. See, that's the kind of heart that the church should have when it comes to our worship. I wonder, have you seen my beloved? Instead, there are thousands, millions of Christians across the nation this morning. Instead of tuning into their church, instead of having a home Bible study, instead of doing any of those things, just sitting there watching the news and doing something else. And then when we're allowed to go back to church, they may or may not show up. But then when they need God, man, they want him to show up. I wonder if you have seen my beloved. You see, in the Old Testament, and I'll be wrapping up here in just a few moments. In the Old Testament, in the Holy of Holies, if you've ever studied that out, there are no chairs. But in our churches, we've got the plush. I mean, our church got some comfortable chairs. In the Old Testament, in the Holy of Holies, there were no chairs. There was no place to sit. You know why? Because God wants to be worshipped continually. Continually. The Word even says so. 1 Thessalonians, he says, we're to praise him continually. See, we worship God occasionally We worship God when we get into trouble. We worship God when we get a new car. But see, there's a place where we worship him and where our worship becomes like the air we breathe. There's a place where we get to in God where you almost need to be able to worship him because you need it like a junkie needs a fix. You have to get into the presence of God because there's something that you have to tap into. Where you and I aren't able to function until we get into that kind of realm of glory. And when you would begin to worship like that, things begin to happen. When I begin to call on the name of the Lord, whenever I just sit down at the piano sometimes when nobody's here and nobody's expected to come in, I can sit down and worship God, and it's as if all of heaven fills this place with his glory, with his splendor, and begins to sing holy, holy, holy right along with me. It's that kind of worship that God wants from you and I. It's that kind of worship that the church needs to tap into right now. Not what are we going to do? Not what is the future going to hold? Not trying to give some carnal answer to something that's bigger than all of us. But it's you and I getting into the realm of the Spirit through our worship and saying, God, I need you. Yes, I need you. Because when you and I get into that kind of a place in God, all of heaven will join you in your worship. The Bible refers to, and I'm not going to be able to get back into the fullness of the text this morning, but in Isaiah tells a story when he was a teenager. In the Bible he writes, in the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah says, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. He says, I saw his train fill the temple. He was like 16 or 17 when he wrote that. Isaiah. He's referring to the fact that he stepped into something that wasn't normal. He was referring to the fact that there was a place that he got to tap into where there was glory all over the place, where heaven was singing, holy, holy, holy. And Isaiah describes and says that he fell on his face before him and he worshiped him. What Isaiah is describing in the Word of God is not the worship services we have. What Isaiah describes in the Word makes our worship services look pathetic. I mean, you know, we can have great pretty TV lights and smoke, and we can black out our sanctuary, and we can have a big glass cathedral. We can do whatever it is we need to do to think that that's what it is that gets us close to God. But no matter what, the way Isaiah describes his worship experience, it makes all of ours look pathetic. He said, I saw his train and it filled the whole temple. When I'm reminded of that, I can't help but ask myself and can't help but ask you, when was the last time you really worshiped God? I mean, worship God to the degree that you kind of kicked off your shoes like I'm doing right now. You kicked off your shoes and because you just needed to step into the realm. I remember growing up in church and men and women kick off their shoes and because it was just, they danced so much and worshiped so much, they just got in the way. What am I saying about all of this? Sometimes I believe you and I have to move away from the Pharaoh that is holding us back from having an experience with God. And sometimes that includes moving away from the people in church that you usually sit next to. If they hinder your worship ability, then move. Find a new seat. We've got to get away from the Pharaoh that's hindering our worship. Because God is calling you and I. He's calling you and I. He's calling the church to another dimension. God doesn't want you and I to stay where we used to live. He wants to get to another dimension. God is even saying, just like God spoke to Moses and said, tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Loose them and let them go. Sometimes you and I have to address the devil, and I don't speak to him often, but when I do, sometimes you and I have to address the enemy and say, devil, you can't stop this. Devil, what God is doing right now, I have to believe that this maybe wasn't sent by God, but this situation our nation is dealing with is definitely being used by God, and that God will use it for his glory and for his benefit. And we've got to be able to be bold and audacious enough and look at the enemy and say, devil, you can't stop what God is doing right now. You can't stop what God is about to do. For me and for others, we've been waiting way too long for God to do something extraordinary. As I was getting ready to come to the church this morning, the news was on in the background, and I heard the anchor was interviewing three pastors. And the topic was, on this news network, is there an end-time revival brewing? Millions of people watching this, and their top story for the hour was talking to pastors about what is happening in the earth right now, what God wants to do, and the influx of people that we see trying to get answers and running towards God. You see, what I really believe, church, is it's awesome that you and I've got to be ready. When they say open the doors of your churches again, are you ready for an end-time harvest? Are you ready for God to use you in that way? I mean, is our worship teams ready to lead us into the real presence of God, not this generic form of worship that we do? Are we ready? Do we even know how to get there? See, we have to be able to stand in the face of Satan. We've got to be able to stand in the face of our favor and say, you can't stop this. Back when they read this story in Exodus 5, when the children of Israel said to Pharaoh that they wanted to worship God more, he increased their work hours more. I've had people tell me many times over the years, Pastor, I want to be able to be in church more, and all of a sudden, they work more. They're away more. All those things. Because it never fails. When you get ready to get serious with God, then you can't get off work. And you know why that is? It's because the enemy will always substitute glory with carnality. The enemy will substitute the glory of God in your life for you thinking that you're working to become prosperous. But the truth, if we would get real, doesn't matter how much more you've worked or you're any more prosperous. Where'd it go? That's how the enemy fools us so many times. When I mentioned Isaiah there a moment ago, and I'll close with this, I'll have to. The Bible says that Isaiah peeked into the social order of heaven, and even the cherubim were singing. They were singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And Isaiah says and describes that as they were praising God, that the posts of the door were moved. Think about that. Look around in your homes right now. The posts, the door frames, the posts of the door were moved. What does that really mean, though, to you and I? What it means is that the things and the stuff in our life that says it can't be moved will move when you praise God. When you and I get a diagnosis from a doctor, it says one thing and they say there's no hope. When you praise God, that thing can move. When you have someone look you in the eye and say, I don't love you anymore. When you praise God, that post will move. God can turn their heart. When you're facing a serious financial trouble and you're looking around and you don't have much and you don't have any money, you don't know where and how you're going to be able to pay your bills, let alone eat. When you begin to praise God, God will move what seems to be impossible. See, things that stood up in your face and said that it couldn't be moved begins to move when you praise God. What I really love to think about is when I begin to praise God, things start slipping out of my way. Mountains begin to move. People begin to move. Obstacles begin to move just when you and I begin to praise God. There are things in our lives today that need to move. There are physical limitations and financial limitations, and there are things that we are going through as a family. There are families that need to be restored, and there's bitterness that needs to move, and there's unforgiveness that needs to move. And yet, if you and I will begin to praise God, they'll begin to move out of our way. But we've got to begin to praise God like we need a breakthrough. I have to praise God until it moves. As I praise God, he'll move my boss. As I praise God, he'll move my debt. Y'all think I'm crazy. I'm not crazy. That's the God that we serve. That's the God that we serve. That when you begin to praise him, he will open up the windows of heaven. God will do extraordinary things. Isaiah said that the post of the doors moved. Meaning everything that's an obstacle in your life will begin to move. He can move temptation. He'll move limitation. See, every one of us is facing a Pharaoh right now. Every one of us. And Pharaoh is trying to stop you. Pharaoh is trying to hold you and I captive. Pharaoh wants to cause you and I to be limited in many different ways. Pharaoh wants to keep you and I limited. Pharaoh wants to keep you and I broke. Pharaoh wants to keep you and I sick. Pharaoh wants to keep you and I distracted. Pharaoh wants to keep you busy. Pharaoh wants to keep you worried. But we have to begin to be able to look at our Pharaoh. We have to often look at the devil himself and say, devil, you can't stop this. You can't stop this. Boy, how the enemy would have liked to have been able to stop all the thousands of pounds of food that we gave out this week, just so that community could have thought this church didn't care or that nobody cared. But over and over and over again, we heard, I'm so glad that church cares. They're so kind there. That's really what God's all about. And on and on and on. Not praising us, but giving praise and glory to God. In other words, we said to the devil, devil, you can't stop this. You can't stop this. The Bible says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be on my lips. Another scripture that we like to quote so many times is, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. And we quote it without really understanding the power in what we're saying. That water it's talking about is a Holy Ghost praise. Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Out of your belly will flow rivers of Holy Ghost praise. And I want to remind you something. How did Pharaoh die? He drowned. Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Out of your belly will flow rivers of Holy Ghost praise. See, you will overcome your Pharaoh. You will overcome your limitation. You will overcome your obstacle. You will overcome whatever stands in your way by drowning your Pharaoh with praise. By drowning your Pharaoh. And the enemy knows that. That's why he attacks our worship. That's why the enemy attacks our praise. Because he knows if you really worship and you praise God that you drown your Pharaoh. What's your obstacle today? What's your limitation today? What's standing in your way? What is it that's standing in your way? Let's get our praise back. Let's get our praise back. Let's drown our Pharaoh in our praise. Can we do that? Can we do that? We're going to pray and then we're going to sing a worship song, give you an opportunity just to drown your Pharaoh in your worship. Father, I thank you. Lord, I praise you. God, I glorify and Lord, I bless you. God, we just lift up your great name today. Great, mighty, marvelous God that you are. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, we are surrounded this morning by things, by circumstances, God, things that seem impossible, insurmountable. But God, we recognize you. And Lord, we understand and know that there is power in our worship. Father, in this moment, I pray that you would just begin to break every yoke. Father, begin to break everything that strangulates us, taking our hope, taking our joy, taking our peace. Father, causing us to be worried, causing us to be in fear. I pray in the name of Jesus. Father, as we worship you in this room and as we people worship you in their homes, Father, begin to just break open and set people free from places and things of bondage, areas, God, of their life where they've been hindered in the name of Jesus. Hey, hey, oh. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Redabel Shashanana. Just surrender to the Lord wherever you are. Even if you're driving down the road, you can just say, Lord, I surrender. Oh, oh, Lord, I surrender now. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, my God, my God, my God. Yeah. Oh, oh, oh. I surrender all to you. Everything I give to you. Withholding nothing, I surrender all to you. Everything I give to you, withholding nothing, withholding nothing. I give myself away. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. Give myself away. Give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, oh, oh. In a moment when we end this live stream, we're going to give you the opportunity to give and to support the ministry because we're not having church in person. You can give right online. And as we give you the opportunity to give, I'm going to just sing a song of worship to the King. Just go to our website at freshfirechurch.net and give your tithes, your offerings, sow into the Kingdom of God. Thank you, Jesus. Just be led by the Holy Spirit as you give today. Thank you, Jesus. Let me just pray for you as you get ready to give on the website. If you need to mail it, you can do that. But let me just pray over your seed before you give it. And then I'm going to sing a song of worship. And as we sing it, I want you to sing with me. And let's believe that as we worship Him, the posts are being moved. Every obstacle, every obstruction, be moved in the name of Jesus. Now, Father, I bless you and I thank you for your word. I thank you that, Father, what you are doing right now, what you are doing in the hearts and lives of people, there's not a Pharaoh and no devil in hell can stop it. You're doing something on the inside of the lives of people that, Lord, I pray will break free and break forth in the name of Jesus like never before. Father, I pray today as people give to support the ministry, people give their tithe and their offering, Father, I pray that it would be multiplied for your glory. Father, let us continue to be able to demonstrate the love of God, the goodness of our God to this community. Oh, Father, we pray. Bless as they give. Multiply it back to them. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over in their life in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Go ahead and give your offering this morning as we sing this. Holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb. You are holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb. You are holy, holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb. You are holy. Yes, Lord. Lord, you are holy. Thank you, everybody, for joining us on Facebook Live today. We're doing the best we can to obey the regulations set forth by the government to keep everyone safe and healthy. We hope to be able to have worship again real soon. I pray by Easter Sunday. But nonetheless, we love you. We appreciate you. We thank you for being a part of our church today. from wherever you are. So thankful for even other nations. Pastor Donnie told me we're seeing a lot of increased views and outreach from Australia and the UK. God bless you from wherever you are. We appreciate you. We love you. We're praying for you. And most of God, God is for you. He's not against you. Amen. We love you. We're praying for you. Until next time, my friends, may the fire of God consume your life. Thank you.